tonight's shir, we're in the middle of Torah Vav in Likutei Moran. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 16, the right-hand column, the top of the page. In order to begin what we're going to learn tonight, first of all, you have to be aware that we're in the middle of a chapter. We're in the middle of Torah Vav. And the part that we're going to do tonight is already after Rabbeinu Zal discussed all the major points that he wanted to make in this chapter. After Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir on Shabbos Shuvah, which was the time that he gave it, it seems that they had made Havdalah, and then Rabbeinu Zal went over to some of his Talmidim who were knowledgeable in the writings of the Arizal. And he said to them, this shir that I just gave, let's see if you know how the shir that I just gave describes thoroughly what the Arizal writes about Elul. And they looked at him in shock. They couldn't imagine any association whatsoever between what he had said in the shir and what they knew, what they were familiar with, and what the Arizal writes about the kavonos of Elul, the different kavonos according to Kabbalah that a person is supposed to have during the month of Elul. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on to explain in detail, showing the connection between what he had just discussed and what the Arizal discusses regarding certain names of Hashem that a Jew is supposed to be mechaven during the month of Elul. Naturally, these kavonos that the Arizal discusses do not apply to people like us. This applies to very great tzaddikim that have knowledge in Kabbalah, knowledge about the names of Hashem, and these special yichudim that they make in thinking certain thoughts at special times. What we'll try to do is we're going to explain this on our level in conjunction with what we learned earlier in the chapter on Likutei Moran. So before we get into that, let's just review the paragraph that's most appropriate to what we're going to learn now outside. Rabbeinu Zal had said earlier that there's a pasuk that says, V'chibadetoi me'asois d'rochecho, that you will give kavod Hashem by preparing your paths. D'rochecho means your paths, plural. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this refers to a Jew that wants to do tshuva, and in doing tshuva, he has to carve out a path in coming close to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said, you should know it's not one path, it's two paths. Because Rabbeinu Zal says, in order for a person to do tshuva, he has to be able to know how to move in two directions, how to go up and how to go down. As the Zohar HaKadosh uses the wording, Zako Manda'ayil Venofik. Fortunate is that person who knows how to go up and return. And if you recall, when we learned this, we showed the case of the four tzaddikim who were Nichnasu Lepardes, Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zoy, Menacher, and the Gemara says that the only one who went up and came down safely was Rabbi Akiva, about whom the Gemara says, Nichnas v'yotzo b'sholoim. He entered and left successfully. The entering there refers to a concept of going up very high, entering to a high madrega of Kiddusha. The yotzo, the going out, represents coming down. And Rabbeinu Zal had explained that in order for a person to do tshuva, the person has to be very knowledgeable in two types of wisdom. The first wisdom, and these are found in a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, "Im esak shomayim shom ato, va'atzia sho'il hineko." David HaMelech said that there are certain times that I feel myself flying. There are certain times that I feel myself doing very well in religion. I'm climbing higher and higher. And it would be possible for a person to fall into a gaiva, a feeling, wow, I really know a lot about Hashem, or I've really accomplished a lot in religion. So for that, David HaMelech says that im esak shomayim, if I'm flying high, if I'm climbing and rising, I know that shom ato, that as high as I am, you Hashem are still much higher, implying that I realize that I haven't really gotten anywhere. It's not as if I climb, I rise up, and I find suddenly I'm equal with Hashem, or chas v'shalom, I'm looking down on Hashem because I climbed so high that I can look down at Hashem. But rather, because our understanding of Hashem is that Hashem is Ein Sof, infinite, it means the more you learn about Hashem, it's not as if you're closing the gap. It's not as if Hashem, before I started learning, Hashem was on the 100th floor and I was on the ground floor. And once I learned a few hundred pages of Gemara, so suddenly now I'm on the 20th floor, and Hashem is kaviyochel still on 100th floor. But rather, the more a person grows in knowledge of Hashem and in mitzvos and religion, the more the person comes to an understanding that no matter how high I am, Hashem is still higher and greater, and I still have a very long way to go. And therefore, there's no feeling that, wow, I've learned so much that now I can take it easy, now I can coast. On the contrary, I'm shown that even though I've gone very high, I haven't yet begun to come close to Hashem. There's still infinitely more to go. That's one limud that a person has to have in tshuva, because a bal tshuva, there's no question at all that this person is going to be covering a lot of ground. A bal tshuva, usually in their thirst to come close to Hashem, the person starts gobbling up a lot. What other people learned in 20, 30 years, he gets to learn most of that or a certain portion of that in 2 years or 5 years or something like that, because he's a bal tshuva. And there is a danger in doing that of the person suddenly feeling full of himself or full of religion and thinking that he's gotten to a place which he hasn't really gotten to yet, thinking he's been successful already in religion. He's made it when he doesn't realize that there's infinity to go. So therefore, one limud that a bal tshuva has to know is this limud of im esak shamayim, this concept of no matter how high you go, you haven't gotten anywhere yet. Your first beginning to try to come close to Hashem. And on the other hand, a person that's going to be doing tshuva, Rabbeinu Zal says, this person is definitely going to experience yeridos. There's no such thing as moving in one direction. Hashem created the world in such a way that vayihi erev, vayihi voker. There has to be darkness and light. Each and every single cycle involves dark and light, Yerida and Aliyah. Each and every single time a person wants to come close to Hashem, there's that diving board effect. You have to first jump down hard on the diving board and press down on it. And according to how hard you go down, when you go up, the going up is as a result of the Yerida. According to how well you were able to handle your Yerida in religion, that's how much of a reward Hashem gives you when he gives you the Aliyah, when he gives you the high, the up. So therefore, David HaMelech says that va'atzio she'oil, when I find myself falling down and going very, very low in sins, in machshova, in dibur, in maiso, or in any respect, I don't let myself think that because I've fallen out of Hashem, I've fallen out of religion, but rather I know that even va'atzia she'oil, even when I find myself in she'oil, which the Gemara says is the seventh Gehenim, the lowest place, Hineko, I see Hashem that you're right there, meaning that I can't take an attitude of giving up hope, that I've gone so far away from Hashem that for me to get back to Hashem is going to take a million years. Baloney. Hashem is infinite. Infinite implies that no matter how far down I go, Hashem is also there. Hashem is everywhere, to the highest madrega, to the lowest madrega. And therefore, that's what I use as a chizuk to be able to pull myself back, rather than fall into a yush of saying I'm so far away that I'll never be able to make up that distance of coming close to Hashem. On the contrary, I say to myself, all I have to do is simply call out to Hashem, even in this super low place that I find myself in, and Hashem is right there. And I can latch onto something and use it to climb out of this ditch that I've fallen into, and to get back into the good graces of Hashem, or to get back to where I was before I had this big yerida. So this is what Rabbeinu Zal calls the Darkei HaTshuva, this V'chibadetoi Me'asois Derochecho, these two limudim of Boki Berotzui, Boki B'shoiv, being smart and knowledgeable in knowing how to climb, how to rise in religion, and also knowing how to fall. And we mentioned clearly that lahavdil, you find that people that study self-defense, in knowing how to do milchama, part of that knowledge is learning how to fall. And a person would say, what do you mean learning how to fall? I thought I'm coming to this class to learn how to beat the other guy up. I don't want to learn how to fall. I want to learn how to see the other guy fall. And yet, in the real world, in the real world, they know, we're not going to make Superman out of you. We're not going to make you necessarily, it's not that it's going to be impossible for you to fall. It's going to be much harder. In other words, for a person to get you to fall, after you've learned this wisdom, it's going to take much, much more effort than it takes a normal person who doesn't have all of this knowledge. But what we're going to teach you is that even when you fall, another person falls, and it's all over, or it's very difficult for him to be able to do anything from that fallen position. We're going to teach you how to fall in such a way where, number one, you hardly hurt yourself. You learn how to fall in such a manner where there's the least damage that's done to you, and it's the quickest you can react most quickly. You're going to fall in such a way where, as quickly as possible, you're alert, and you're ready to defend, or you're ready to hit back, even from that fallen position. Lahavdil in Kiddusha, it's the same thing. The Torah says clearly, Ein tzadik ba'oretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechtor. There's no such thing as doing good without doing bad, as a daylight without a night preceding it. Even tzadikim, the biggest tzadik, Moshe Rabbeinu, before he was zeichet to hareini noes kvoidecho, before he was zeichet to see the revelation of the greatness of Hashem, there had to be a lech raid ki shiche samcho. Hashem had to tell him to go down. He had to go down first in order to be able to go up. And so too with the Yidden, every single time they were supposed to go to a high madrega, they had to go down first. The whole concept of going down to Mitzrayim before getting into Eretz Yisrael and other countless examples that we find throughout the Torah are all in support of this concept of the Yerida L'Tzorech Aliyah, and how especially a Baal Tshuva must know this, must learn the science of how to deal with an Aliyah and how to deal with the Yerida. This is the introduction. Now we're going to take up, Rabbeinu Zal is going to quote something which, to some people who never learned this type of item, it could sound like gobbledygook. It could sound like something that makes no sense, and what's the application? Rabbeinu Zal is going to take a chapter out of the Kisvei Arizal that deals with different names of Hashem, which seems to have no practical application, and he's going to show you how the words that are being used there are actually in code for what Rabbeinu Zal had explained earlier in this chapter. We're starting on page 16 again, on the right-hand column on the top. Rav Nilson Zal writes here now, this is like an appendix to this chapter that we just learned. V'zeh soid kavonas elul. This is the secret kavonos that the Arizal says a person is supposed to have during the month of Elul, because we explained earlier that the word Elul is this concept of Aliyah and Yerida. Elul is Rosh Tevois, Ani Ledoidi, V'doidi Li. Ani Ledoidi represents a Jew reaching up to Hashem, going upwards, jumping up to Hashem. V'doidi Li represents the Vayered Hashem Al Har Sinai, a concept of when I'm down, when I'm in a low place, bringing Hashem down to where I am. No, it's lowering a rope to the place that I'm in to be able to pull me out. Rav Nosson Zal says, Shomati ktsas ketipa menayam. I heard a little bit, like a drop in the ocean, about this subject, about what the Arizal says. Ayin shom bekavonis shelel. Take a look over there in the writings of the Arizal, in the Shah Ruach HaKodesh, where the Arizal explains exactly what a person is supposed to be thinking, what these tzaddikim are supposed to be thinking during the month of El. And Rav Nosson Zal gives us like a short piece of what's written there. Mavur Hashem, it's explained there, Sheklal Kavonas Elu Hu Hanoisein Bayam Derech, that all the Kavonas that the Arizal explains about the month of Elul are Marumas in this Posuk Hanoisein Bayam Derech, that when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, Kaviochel Hashem carved a path through the Red Sea for them to be able to go through. And the Arizal explains, Shetzrichen lohoir bechinas derech bayam, that a person has to shine the light of derech into the yam. Now note, just as a side note, you should know that Purim is coming up. The tzaddik, the hero of Purim is Mordechai. The Sifrei Kabbalah bring that the word Mordechai is yam and derech combined. This posuk hanoisein bayam derech is also merames to Mordechai HaTzadik and what his whole mission was in rescuing the Jews during the time of Ahasuerus. It's not for now. I'm just giving you an idea. You should know that words that are used in the Torah, every single name, when the Torah gives a name to a tzaddik or a rasha, each one, the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Dayik Bishmo, that Rabbi Meir used to look at the name of a person, and in studying the name, he knew everything about the person. You should know that there's a lot of significance to this. So now the Arizal says, "Shetzrichin lohira bechinas derech bayam, v'zeh haderech hu bechinas beiz pa'omim Hashem Yaboik." The Arizal says there is a name of Hashem called the Shem Yaboik, Yud Beis Kuf, which is, for example, the Rosh Tevois of what we say every single day, Hashem Hoshio Hamelech Ya'anenu v'yoim Koreinu. The Arizal says the first letters of Ya'anenu v'yoim Koreinu is Yaboik, which is one of the names of Hashem. It represents a combination of Elikim and Yudke Vovke. Elikim is 86, Yudke Vovke is 26. Together, they're bigimatria 112. And this Shem Yaboik, the Zohar HaKadosh says, is Yichud, Brocha, Kiddusha. It's a combination of Chesed and Gevura. Brocha represents the Kohanim. Hashem said to Aaron HaKohen that their mitzvah is bracha. Kiddusha represents Levi. V'kidashto es halevim, the Zohar HaKadosh, the pasuk says. So we see that the concept of bracha and kiddusha is Kohen and Levi, which is chesed and gevura. Kohen is the isha chesed. Levi represents din. A lot of proofs to it. The Shem Yaboik represents the combination of these two, the combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Alikim, which is Chesed and Gvura. Now, the Arizal says that the word Derech, Dalet Reish Chof, 224, is Bigimatria twice Yaboik. Veze Nimshach Mebechinas Beis Shemois Shehem Kese Sog. And the Arizal says that this Derech that a Jew forms during this month of Elul, this Kavon of Hanoisim Yom Derech, this Derech is created by the combination of two names of Hashem. One name of Hashem that has a numerical value of 161, Kuf Samach Aleph, and another name of Hashem that has a numerical value of 63, Sog. Where do we get this from? The Arizal explains, Ki Elu Beis Shemois, Kuf Samach Aleph and Sog, Kese and Sog, Heim oilim bigimatria beiz pa'omim yaboik, shehu bigimatria derech kanal. We have three things. Derech, derech is bigimatria 224. Yaboik, twice yaboik, is also 224. And also these two names of Hashem, kese and sog, are also bigimatria 224. 161 and 63 is also 224. And now we'll see in a minute what names of Hashem these are. The Arizal says, "V'tzorech lechavein shem kese besegoil, v'shem sog bechirik." And when a person has these kavonas, the person has to picture the name of Hashem kese. You have to picture it with segoils under it. And when you picture the shem sog, you have to picture it with chiriks under each letter. The segoil, the kese, the chirik, the sog, heim oilim tof. And the segoils that are under the shem kese, and the chiriks that are under the shem sog, together are bigimatria 400. We'll see in one minute. The Arizal explains, Ki shem kese hu ekye b'miluoy kozeh. The name of Hashem that the Arizal refers to as Kese is actually Hashem's name Ekye, which is mentioned in the Chumash, when Moshe Rabbeinu was going to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, and he asked Hashem, if the Jews will ask me, what's your name, what should I say? So Hashem said, you tell them, Ekye Shelochani Aleichem. Ekye is one of the names of Hashem. Aleph Hey, then Yud Hey. So the Arizal says, this name of Hashem, B'miluoy, when it's written out in its full form, kozeh, as is written over here, aleph, hey, yud, hey, where the aleph is spelled the way it's pronounced, aleph, lamed, pei. The hey, when we say hey, it's as if there were a hey and a yud, that y sound at the end of hey. When we say yud, Yud is pronounced as if it was spelled Yud Vav Dalet, and Hey again is Hey Yud. If you add up the gematria of Aleph Lamed Pei, Hey Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, it's bigematria 161. That's called the Milui of the Shem Ekya. Shehem Yud Oisiois. If you'll add it up, you'll see there's a total of 10 letters in the Milui. Aleph Lamed Pei is 3, Hey Yud is 2, Yud Vav Dalet is another 3, Hey Yud is another 2. V'chol Achas Nekuda B'Segoil. And the Arizal says you're supposed to be mechaven these 10 letters with segoils under them. The Aleph with a segoil under it, the Lamed with a segoil under it, the Pei with a segoil under it, and so on and so forth. The segoil, Hu Gimel Nekudos. A segoil is 3 dots, the alkein hu oile shloishim, and that's why the numerical value of a segoil is 30. In the Tikkuni Zohar, it explains how the nekudos, each one of the vowels that are used in the Torah, actually represent a letter. For example, the pasach is synonymous with the letter vov. The pasach is drawn like a horizontal vov. The chirik is like a yud. It's like a miniature yud. The komatz is a combination of a vav and a yud. Those two combined together. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that in this manner, even the vowels have gematriois. And the Zohar HaKadosh shows very deep, beautiful things that are merumas even in the vowels, as we gave some examples in previous shiurim. So now the Arizal says, V'alkein yud pa'omim segoil oile shin. These 10 segoils, if each segoil is like 3 yuds, each segoil is 30, 10 segoils under these 10 letters of Ekye, Bemilui, is 300. All 10 letters. The Sog, what is the Shem Sog of Hashem? Hein Yud Oisiois Shel Milui Havaya. Those are the 10 letters that make up the name Yud Kei Vav Kei when it's written in its filled out form, as is written here. Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Yud. There are 10 letters there. V'chol Achas Nekuda Bechirik. And the Arizal says you're supposed to be mechaven for each one of these 10 letters with a chirik under it. 10 chiriks. A chirik is 10. 10 times 10. Oile Kuf is bigimatria 100. Ushnehem, Chirik de Sog, the Segoil de Kese, Oilem Yachad Tof. The Chiriks, the 10 Chiriks that were under the Shem Sog, and the 10 Segoils that were under the Shem Kese, together are bigimatria 400. Bigimatria Pshuta. Bigimatria, the word Pshuta. When the Torah discusses the concept of tshuva, the Pasuk says, Yemin Hashem Pshuta Lekabel Shovim. That Hashem's right hand is extended, it's wide open to receive a Baal tshuva. The Arizal says that how do we affect this tikkun of Pshuta? By being mechaven these names of Hashem in this form, with these vowels. V'oz al yidei kol b'chinoi sanal, the Arizal says, through a person being mechaven for this item, hayimin pshuto lekabel tshuvosoi, then Hashem's right hand is extended to receive this person's tshuva. Why? How does yimin fit into this? Ki yimin b'miluoi oile derech im hagimel oisiois, shehu beis pomim yaboich, ayin shom. Because the word yimin, when you spell it in its filled out form, yud, spelled yud vav dalet, mem is pronounced as if it were mem-mem, as if it were two mems with a segel under the mem, right? Yud, again, is yud vav dalet, and nun, we pronounce nun as if it were nun vav nun, right? So the Arizal says the word yemin b'miluoi is bigimatria derech with the oisius. Derech is 224. With the 3 letters, it's 227, that's derech. Yemin, yud vav dalet, mem mem, yud vav dalet, nun vav nun, is bigimatria 226. With the koilel, the word itself, is bigimatria 227. So you have derech and yemin that are equal. These two are the same. Ayin shom, take a look over there on the right. Kol ze mavur mitoich kavona selo. All of this is explained in the writings of the Arizal regarding the Kavonos of Elul. Now, in order for a person to understand this in terms of how this works in Kabbalah, what the connection is between the Shem Ekye and Yud Kei Vov Kei, etc., for this you have to learn the Zohar HaKadosh, the writings of the Arizal, and there all of this is explained very well, very carefully, for a person to know how these things fit together and how thinking these Kavonos actually affects a Yichud between Hashem and the Shekhinah, etc. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us how in the shir that Rabbeinu Zal gave, where he was discussing the subject of tshuva in a Musar shir, Rabbeinu Zal actually snuck in all these kavonas of the Arizal. Watch. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'ato boi ure'ei v'hovein. Now come and look carefully and understand what we're going to explain now. Eich kol hakavonas hanal merumozim v'ne'elomim b'derech niflo v'noira ma'oid b'toich ha'toira hanal. How all of these kavonas that the Arizal discusses are hidden and explained and included within the shir that Rabbeinu Zal gave. Kimavur Hashem, Rabbeinu Zal had explained earlier, Shemi Sheroitze Lasis Tshuva, that a person who wants to do tshuva, Tzorich Sheyeh Eloi Shnei Bekius. The person has to be knowledgeable and he has to have two types of knowledge. Hainu, Boki Barotzui, Boki Beshoiv. Shehi Bechinas Ayil, Venofik. Bechinas Im Esak Shomayim Shomato, Shehu Bechinas Boki Barotzui. And Va'atzia Shoel Hineko, Shehu Bechinas Boki Beshoiv. This we explained earlier, that these things line up with each other, these terms. Rotzui means aliyah. Rotzui means im esak shomayim shomato. Rotzui means ayil, what the Zohar HaKadosh says, boki ba'ayil. Voshoiv, to know how to come back down, corresponds to va'atzia sho'il hineko, corresponds to v'nofik, that concept. Kimavur le'el ayin shom, as was explained earlier. V'hapirish haposhetu, what exactly did Rabbeinu Zal mean when he said this in very simple terms? Shemi sheroitze leilech bedarkei atshuva, that a person who wants to be zeichet to climb the ladder, to walk the path that a bal tshuva has to walk, tzorech lachgur mosnov, he has to tighten his belt around him, he's got to be ready for some serious work, something that's not easy. She yischazek atzmoi bedarkei Hashem tomid bein ba'aliyah bein b'yirida. The person has to be prepared to serve Hashem on two levels, in two different ways. There are going to be good days, and there are going to be bad days. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Not that when I have a bad day, it means I did something wrong. No, this is part of coming close to Hashem. Hashem wants to see how you handle different temperatures. Lahavdil, when an inventor invents something, he comes up with a new machine. Those that are familiar with this, they know that generally, before the item is released to the public and it can be used, it's tested under different conditions. They test it under extreme heat, they test it under extreme hold, to be able to see how well this holds up, because they know that in life, in a person's house, there are different conditions. There's winter and there's summer. And in order for this thing to be able to be used properly, it has to be constructed in such a way that it could handle different degrees of cold or different degrees of hot. For example, a certain product that's going to be used in a refrigerator, a tray for eggs or something like that, it has to be designed in such a way, there are certain materials that when you make it cold, it cracks automatically. The nature of it is such, if this is going to be used in a refrigerator, you have to use a type of ingredient, a type of substance that can take extreme cold. If you want to use it in the freezer, it's got to be tempered to be able to handle further cold. And the same thing is in heat. Lahavdil bikdusha, the neshama of a Jew and the guf of a Jew. In order for a Jew to be a success in this world, the Jew has to be set up mentally and ruchnius and everything to show that he's capable of handling the hot and the cold. He's capable of handling anius and ashirus. He's capable of handling good days and bad days. And note, the avoida of the good day doesn't resemble the bad day. There could be a certain day where what Hashem expects of you is to learn for an hour, and there could be a different day when you'll learn for an hour and it'll be considered an avera, because you're doing so well, you're on such a high, that today you could easily have learned 3 hours, 4 hours, and learning an hour today is a joke. Whereas another day, when a person's in a frame of mind of Yerida, Hashem does not expect of him the same thing that he expected of him in the time of Aliyah. That's not to say Hashem expects nothing. That's the big mistake. There are times that a person gives up completely and lets himself fall, he lets go. That's not acceptable. Or there are times when a person's in a Yerida, when he tries for too much. He tries to get what he got in an Aliyah and he sees it doesn't work, and then he kicks Chas v'Shalom at Hashem. He says, then forget it, then I'm not interested. And he walks out on Hashem. Again, that's not acceptable. That's this Bekiyas that Rabbi Nazal's talking about here, that a person has to learn this science very, very well to know how Hashem operates and to know how a person's supposed to react to the different conditions that Hashem puts a person through. Rabbi Nazal says now, Hainu, Bein sheyizke le'eza aliyah, le'eza madrega gdoila. Whether a person is zeicha to experience an aliyah, to find himself on a high madrega, afal pikein aliyah moed shom. Still, the person is not allowed to stand still over there. Volo yistapek atzmoy bozeh. The person should not allow himself to be satisfied with that. Oh! Today I learned 5 blat Gemara, tomorrow I can take a day off, that kind of thing. On the contrary, a person sees that he got to a certain high, that shows the person. If today I learned for 3 hours, then I know that I'm capable of learning for 6 hours. I know that I can still go further and further. I know that there's Ein Seif. If today I understand the Gemara this well, I know if I'm going to go over it again and again, I'm going to find myself penetrating deeper and deeper, going further. Rabbi Nazal says the person has to be very smart when it comes to this. Leida, to know, ulahamin, and to believe, that no matter how high I've gotten, no matter how much I've accomplished, I believe 100% that there's much more to go. This is all the concept of knowing how to deal with an aliyah well, knowing not to make the mistake that many Rosh Yeshivas make and many Talmidei Chachomim, that they learn for the first 20, 30 years of their life and they fly, they get to a very, very high level. And then for the next 40 or 60 years, they coast. You don't see him having the same thirst for knowledge, and you don't see him moving as quickly as he did during the beginning. You see a concept of retirement or semi-retirement. He made it to a certain level. He's a Rosh Yeshiva. Now there isn't that much more to know. Why? Because it's no big deal. Compared to his Talmidim, he can make them look like yo-yos, like kindergarten kids, because he knows 10 times as much as they do. But that's baloney. That's not enough. If we're talking about Yiddishkeit, and if Yiddishkeit is Ruchnius, Ruchnius is Ein Soif, which means compared to Hashem, or compared to the Tanoim and Amiroim, this Rosh Yeshiva is on the same level as his student. There's no big gap. Compared to how much more there is for him to go and to learn, it's as he hasn't even begun yet. So there's no concept of relaxing or retiring. On the contrary, it's a matter of building up speed and moving quicker and quicker and quicker. And the further you get, the more you're able to do in an hour what you used to be able to do in a week or in a day. And you're gobbling up more and more because, again, even if you finish learning the entire Shas and entire Shulchan Aruch and entire all the Medrashim, if you'll go over it again and again, each time you're going to be able to find brand new things. The Gemara says that the Torah is compared to a sheep. What happens when you shear off the wool from a sheep? Automatically it grows a whole new coat of wool. So too with the Torah. After you've shorn off a whole set of wool, you've taken out from this Gemara a whole ton of information. You go back to the Gemara again and you see there's a whole brand new set of wool to be cut. There's thousands of new halachos to be learned, or secrets of Torah to be learned. There's more and more to go. V'chein lehepech, and the same thing works in the opposite direction. Shafilu im yipoel chas v'shalom lamokim sheyipoel, that even if the person falls, no matter how low, no matter how far down a person falls, afilu b'sheol tachtiyus, even if he falls into the lowest level possible. Gamkein al yisyaish atzmoy li'oilam. It's forbidden for the person to give up on himself, to say, forget it. I can never go back. I can never come back. I've done so many bad things, or I've gone so far away from the Torah, or away from religion, or away from learning and davening, away from these things, that I could never start again. But rather, the person has to constantly search and seek out Hashem. And the person has to be able to give himself confidence and his chaskus wherever he is, b'chol ma sheyuchal, any way he can. Because we know that even in the Shoel Tachtius, Hashem is there. If Hashem weren't there, there wouldn't be a Shoel Tachtius. If I have fallen to such a low level that I feel I'm so far from Hashem, like Hashem is a billion miles away from me, if such a thing existed, this level wouldn't exist. Because nothing can exist without the presence of Hashem there. Elamai, Elamai, the lower you go, the more hidden the presence of Hashem is. It definitely, because chas v'shalom, if the light were there in its clear form, chas v'shalom, it would be damaged, just like we said in the Shir on Shabbos, that in Mitzrayim, which was such a mokoim tumah, it was impossible for the regular light of Hashem to be present there, because the pasuk says, "Uchevoidi la'acher loy etein," that Hashem says, "My kovoid into acher, into elokim acherim, I will not put it." What is kovoid? Kovoid is oir. V'ho'oretz he'iro michvoidoi. So kovoid is synonymous with light. So when we say uchvoidi la'acher loy etein, Hashem says, my light, I will not let it go to elokim acherim. Which light? The regular light. The light of tefillin, which is not allowed to be worn into the bathroom because it represents a kedusha that cannot go into the mokom hatanoifis. Whereas tzitzis, is something that you are allowed to wear into a bathroom. Because tzitzis represents this light of keser, this light of ayeh mekoyim kevoidoi, which could even reach into the lowest places. It could even give chiyus into the lowest places. The goyim, how do they exist? They're also drawing from a light of Hashem, but in a very tzimtzum, in a very constricted form. And even in the low place that I find myself, even there I can attach myself to Hashem. This is the concept of knowing how to fall, knowing how to come down. It's impossible for a person to be successful as a Baal Tshuva, unless they know these two paths very well, unless they've studied how to deal with these two sets of circumstances very well and know it. The Koro Inyan Zeh, the Dikdek Rabbeinu Zal used a perfect choice of words. The Koro Inyan Zeh, Beloshen Boki, note, he used this word that a person has to be a boki. A boki means very knowledgeable. There's 4,000 other words in the Hebrew language that mean very knowledgeable. Lamdan, chacham, hundred. Why did Rabbeinu Zal use bedafka this word? Kihi bikius gedoyla ma'oid ma'oid. Because this is something that involves a very broad knowledge. You can't begin to imagine the different scenarios and the different circumstances that Hashem is going to put you through, and the variety of aliyas and yiridas that you're going to experience in trying to come close to Hashem. Sheyizke leida liyageya atzmoy, said the person should get to know well how much to struggle, v'letroyach b'avoydas Hashem tomid, and really work hard at serving Hashem, lahagia l'madrega gavoya yoyser, to keep climbing to new and new higher levels. V'afal pikein, and even though he's striving to go to newer, new, higher levels, afal pikein al yipoil mishum dovor, not to let himself fall, no matter where he is, whatever level he's on, not to let himself. No, on one hand he's trying to go up, on the other hand he's trying to be very careful not to fall down. Lahavta, like a person climbing a ladder. The purpose of this ladder is to take me from the first floor to the second floor. But I know there are times that I take a step up on the ladder, and not only don't I move up, but I go flying down 30 stairs because I wasn't careful. Because this concept of climbing a ladder is dangerous, depending on what kind of ladder it is, and depending on how wide apart the rungs are. Here again, if a person goes bahadraga, step by step, a little bit at a time, it's pretty safe. If a person tries to skip a step, sometimes a person feels it's taking too much time and he wants to skip a step on the ladder and he jumps, he makes it the first time, second time, then suddenly, woof, the third time, he misses the step and he goes tumbling down. Chas v'sham. So Rabbi Nezal says, in Yiddish, the expression is medarv sich tzien se de hechste madrega. Person has to draw himself to the highest level. And not to let, even if you find yourself in the basement, not to let yourself fall to the sub-basement. Meaning, no matter how low you are, there's still lower. Don't think you're on the bottom. There's always lower. There's always worse. And you better be careful to hold your ground where you are, because if not, if you're going to let yourself get depressed also, you're going to find that, wait, you don't even know what being low is. You're going to go still lower, chas v'shalom. And at the same time, striving and working and trying to go up, to go higher. And even if it's as terrible as it could possibly be for the person, still, the person should not let himself get upset, not let himself get depressed, chas v'shalom. That's a dirty word for a Baal Tshuva, especially. V'yikayim v'atziya sho'il hineko. But rather, when a person finds himself in a yerida, to think of this posuk, to think of the fact that I know that even though I'm so bad, and even though I did such terrible things, and even though as a result of these terrible things that I've done, I've fallen, wherever I am now, Hashem is here with me. And if I reach out to Hashem, Ba'asher Husham, from the place that I'm at now, I'll definitely be able to connect with Hashem, and I'll be able to pull myself up. I'll be able to get myself out of this and get started again in going back up, in returning to Hashem. Now, in hidden form, in Rabbi Nezal's shir, was included all of these kavonas of the Arizal. Ki boki hu bechinas shem yaboy kanal. Boki is the same letters as yaboy, yud beis kuf. Shehu oisiyos boki, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh in Mishpotim shows a specific connection between that name of Hashem, the shem yaboy, and the term boki that's used in the Gemara. A person that's very thoroughly knowledgeable. A person who is zoiche to have these two types of knowledge, shehem beis pa'omim boki, which means he has these two bokis, dahinu boki barotzi, boki b'shoiv, as we explained earlier. Rabbi Nezal called it boki in rotzi, boki in knowing how to go up, and boki in knowing how to go down. Al yidei zeh zoiche lederech hatshuva. That's how he's zoiche to the path of tshuva. Ki beis po'omim boki shehem bechinas beis po'omim yavoy kanal oile begimatria derech kanal. Because these two times boki is 112, twice boki is derech, 224. Ki al pi hakavonois nase zeh derech mebechinas segoil de kese vechirik de sog shehem begimatria beis po'omim yavoy kanal. Because according to the Arizal, when a tzaddik is mechavein these two names of Hashem, the Shem Kese and the Shem Sog, which are also bigimatria derech, which is bigimatria, these two yaboiks, that's how he accomplishes this. And Rabbi Nezal says, I'm going to show you now how these funny words, these funny names of Hashem, Kese, Sog, all of this, I'm going to show you how this is exactly what Rabbi Nezal was referring to here. Ki boki barotzui shehu b'chinas esak shomayim. This boki barotzui, which Rabbi Nezal said was merumas in the pasuk in Tehillim im esak shomayim, ze b'chinas segoil de kese. Ki esak oisiois kuf samach aleph. Because that word in the pasuk, which means to go up, is the same letters as this name of Hashem, Kuf Samach Aleph, which is the Milui of Ekir. Uboki b'shoiv, and a concept of a person knowing how to fall, knowing how to go down. Shu b'chinas vatsia shoil hineko, ze b'chinas chirik desog. Miloshoin al tasig gvul oilam. There's a pasuk that says that when a person's falling, don't let yourself fall out of the bottom of the world, chas v'shalom, out of the boundary of the world, implying that there is a bottom, and if you find yourself very low, don't let yourself fall out completely. A person says, I had a falling out, chas v'shalom, in religion. That's this term, al tasig gvul olam. If you look in Rashi on that pasuk, that's what it means. That's what it's referring to. This concept of falling out from the level that you're on. Shehu b'chinas shemasig gvuloi, umachziroi lachoyrov. This means that a person moves his boundary. In other words, right now I'm over here, and rather than staying here, rather than holding my ground and seeing that I don't fall any further down, the person takes the rope and he moves it back further, like he moves the boundary further back, and he lets himself fall still further down. Chas v'shalom. Shehaodon sheze b'chinas yirida. Shehaodon noifel chas v'shalom imadregosoy v'hu nosoig ocher. This is the concept of yirida, where a person lets himself fall even further than the level he's on now. Afal pikein yechazek esatzmoy v'al yisya'i shatzmoy loylam. And still, Rabbein Azal said, the person should strengthen himself and motivate himself and not let himself fall further. Kigam shom nimtza Hashem yisborach, because even on that low level that he's on, even there Hashem is to be found. Bechinas vatzia sholi neko kanal. V'ze bechinas shem sog hanal. This is why the Arizal refers to this shem sog. Sog refers to a concept of holding your ground, which is the attitude that a person is supposed to have when he's in a yerida. When you realize that you're in a yerida, your mission at that time is not to climb up. Your mission is for that day or two to just hold your ground. Just stay still. Just try to hold on to certain minimum standards that you have and not let yourself fall any further. And then a day later, or a week later, or a month later, when the sun starts shining for you again, then you'll start running again. Just like Yosef HaTzadik, when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, and Paro said to him that he foresaw this dream that there were going to be 7 good years and 7 bad years. What did he do? What was his advice? His advice was that during the 7 good years, store up enough produce, enough food, so that when the 7 bad years come, naturally, you're not going to be adding to the reserves during the 7 bad years. You're not going to be going up. You're not going to be getting richer. But at least you're going to be able to hold on to a certain minimum standard. You're going to be able to survive. So too, Rav Nosson Zal says, Likutei Halachos, in religion, when a person's having an aliyah, during that aliyah, he's supposed to try to have so much hespedidus and learn so much Torah that when the yerida comes along, and you better believe it's going to come along, at least he's going to have something to hold him. He's going to have covered enough ground to give himself enough chizuk and enough motivation to be able to hold a certain minimum ground during the time of Yerida until the next aliyah comes around, until he starts climbing up again. Rav Nosson Zal says now, ki segoil dochama. Note, we had explained earlier in Likutei Moran, it's earlier in this chapter, that the segoil represented the sun. We quoted the Zohar HaKadosh on that. Segoil dochama. Shehu nekudo ho elyoino shel ho aleph hanechlekes l'sholish tipin, which we explained corresponds to the upper part of the aleph. We said earlier that the aleph is divided into 3 sections: the top part, the middle part, and the lower part. The top part is a yud, the lower part is a yud, and they're connected like by a vav in the middle. That was one representation. Another representation was that the top part of the aleph represents the segoil. It represents the light of the sun, which is the top. The pnei Moshe kipnei chamo. The bottom part of the aleph represented the chirik. It represented v'tachas raglov kemaise livnas hasapir. The Rabbeinu Zal quoted psukim earlier to support all of this. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, ki segoil dochamo shune kudel yone shal aleph hanechlekes l'sholosh tipin, which is divided into 3 dots. Sheze b'chinas esak shomayim, b'chinas segoil dekese shehu oisiois esak kanal. This represents the segoils under the name kese. If you recall, Rabbeinu Zal in this chapter earlier had explained what a segoil is and what a chirik is. Rabbi Nizal showed how segoil represents the aliyah, the light of the sun, the light of the Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, and chirik represented the light of the moon. Tachas raglov kemaisa livnas hasaper, the levono, we explained this all earlier. So the segoil and chirik also represent this concept of aliyah and yerida. That's why the Arizal said that the shem kese, you have to picture with segoils under it, the shem sog with chiriks under it. The chirik represents the bottom part of the aleph. Shubachinas vatzia shoel hineko. Shubachinas chirik the sog hanal. Again, as we explained two shiurim ago, or in the last shiur. Vizeh shekosav shom lamalo bahatoyra hanal. And this is why Rabbi Nizal wrote earlier in this chapter. Ukishayesh loy elu hashne bekiyas hanal. That when a Jew is zoicha to have these two types of knowledge, azai hu hoylech bedarche hachuva, then he's walking in the paths of tshuva. Ki mishne po'omim boki, shehem bechinas kesev esog, through these twice, these two types of boki, which represent kese and sog, esak shomayim and va'atzio she'oil, aydei zeh nase b'chinas derech, shu b'gematria beiz pomim boki, shem kese v'sog kanal. Through that, he creates this derech, this darkei hatshuva. Ki ikar derech hatshuva zoichan al yidei shnei b'kiya sanal. Because the main path of tshuva, a yid is zoichetu by having these two types of b'kiyas. V'oz yemin Hashem pshuto lekabel tshuva soy. Hashem says, shuva elai v'oshuva aleichem. You take a step towards me, and I'll take a step towards you. Our step towards Hashem involves these two bokis, which add up to 224. Hashem also takes a step towards us. What step? What does he extend to us? His right hand, the yamin. And Rabbi Nizal says, ki yamin bigimatria derech. Because the word yamin, the right hand of Hashem, matches our derech towards Hashem. The yamin b'miloy, the word yamin b'miloy, as we showed earlier, is bigimatria derech. Upshuta, and in order to get the yamin to be pshuta, it's not enough that Hashem should put out his right hand, but that Hashem should extend his hand way down to where the person is. The word pshuta, bigimatria segoel de kese v'chirik de sog. The pshuta, which is bigimatria 400, is created from the segoels of kese and the chiriks of sog. Shehem bi'atzmon b'chinas nekuda elyoino unekuda tachtoino. The segoil and the chirik represent the aliyah and yerida, the top part of the aleph and the lower part of the aleph that we learned about earlier. Shehem bechinas ma shetzrichen levakesh Hashem yisporach tomid hein lamala hein lamata. This represents the concept of a person reaching out to Hashem always, whether you're up or whether you're down. Bechinas im esak shomayim shomato vatzir shoel hineko. Shehem bechinas beiz bekiya sanal. The alkane, and therefore, kishiyesh loishnei b'kiyus habikiyus hanal. When a yid is zeichet to have these two types of b'kiyus, oz hu hoylech bedarke hatshuva. Then he's walking in the derech of tshuva. The oz yemin Hashem pshuto lekabel tshuvosoi. And then kaviyochel Hashem's reaction is that Hashem extends his right hand open wide for to receive this person's tshuva. V'hovein hadvorim heitev. Rav Nosson Zal says, understand this very, very well. Ki hem dvorim amukim ma'oid. Because these are very deep concepts. V'al pizeh, and by reviewing this, by understanding these two paragraphs we just learned, toven lekasher hatoiro heitev. You'll be able to connect very well everything that we've learned in the past 4 or 5 shiurim that we had, going back to the beginning of this chapter, all the different things that we learned, you're going to see how it all ties together. Shema shekosav besoif me'inya nekuda elyona nekuda tachtoina shela aleph, that what Rabbi Nizal wrote towards the end of the chapter, where he discussed the upper part of the aleph and the lower part of the aleph, ze bi'atzmoi b'chinas shnei b'kiyas hanal. That corresponded perfectly with what he discussed before that about the concept of boki ba'aliyah and boki b'yerida. Ki ze einoi mavur b'feirish b'hatoyranal. Because if you look back in the chapter, you won't find a clear connection there. You find Rabbeinu Zal seems to present it as two separate items. One discussion about Aliyah and Yerida, and a separate discussion about the Aleph, and the top part of the Aleph, and the lower part, Moshe Yehoshua, the whole discussion that we had. However, Rak al pi kavonas hanal, but by taking this last chapter, this last paragraph that we just learned, Muvan Zeus Memelo Lamaskil, you'll be able to see that everything Rabbeinu Zal discussed earlier was all actually connected. It wasn't two independent thoughts, but it was all one flow, it was one concept. And this also ties in to what Rabbeinu Zal discussed before about a person doing tshuva and then doing a second tshuva on their first tshuva. Rabbeinu Zal said that even when a person is doing tshuva and he says, I'm sorry, Hashem, I apologize tremendously for what I did wrong, and he really, really has a charota, the moment the person finishes that charota, he realizes that when he started that charota, he actually didn't understand how great Hashem was anywhere near as much as when he finishes the charota. When he was saying chotosi avisi poshati, when he first started saying it, he didn't even know what the words meant compared to what he feels when he finishes his chotosi avisi poshati, when he gets to the end. Because the process of tshuva itself bumps you up a level. In other words, let's say before the tshuva I was on level 32, I do tshuva and I go up to 33. When I get to 33, I realize that 32 was an insult to Hashem compared to the 33 that I'm on now. Compared to the understanding I have of Hashem now, what I thought I understood before was actually like insulting to Hashem. We gave the example of a person who has, he knows about a certain rich guy, and he says, you know how rich he is? He has a car. And then somebody else says to him, you idiot, you don't realize he's got a car in each one of his six homes. He's got a home in New York, in Florida, in Eretz Yisrael, Havdil, and here. He's got one car for each house. So the person suddenly realizes, wow, I thought he was rich because in our neighborhood hardly anybody has cars. He has a car. I thought he was rich. I had no idea. It was only when I first found out that there were aspects of his wealth that I had no idea about that I first realized that before, when I said he has a car, it was as if I was insulting him compared to how rich he really is. So too, lahavdil, when it comes to Hashem, when a person thinks he understands the greatness of Hashem to a certain degree, and then the person rises and he goes to a higher level and he starts learning more about Hashem, then he starts being ashamed of what he thought earlier was his description of the greatness of Hashem. So therefore he feels he has to do a tshuva for his tshuva, that kind of concept. Because Rabbeinu Zal said, "Kizvichas Yetzahora shubechinas doim l'Hashem," the concept of shechting one's Yetzahora, which is done by being silent for Hashem when somebody embarrasses you or insults you, and you handle it properly, you don't insult the person back, or you don't build up a resentment in your heart, but rather you take it quietly and calmly. That's the concept of the first tshuva, shehu bechinas kovoid olam hazeh. We said that that's the concept of a lower kovoid, what's called the kovoid olam hazeh. Ze bechinas nekuda hatachtoina. That represents the bottom part of the aleph, shenasis mebechinas hademimo vahashtiko, which is created by a person being doim l'Hashem, silent to for Hashem, which we said corresponds to the v'ho'oretz hadoim ragloi, that the earth is the footstool of Hashem. Footstool means on the bottom, way down. V'kol zeu b'chines chirik desog. That corresponds to the chirik, which is on bottom of the letter, and the chirik of the shem sog. Shehi b'chinas boki b'shoiv. That's this concept of knowing well how to go down, how to handle yerida. U'tshuva ha-beiz she'ois al tshuva se'horishayno. And the second tshuva, which the person does on his first tshuva. Shehu b'chinas kovoid ho'olam haba. We had learned earlier that that corresponds to the concept of kovoid olam haba, a much higher level kovoid. B'chinas kovoid olikim haster dovor. This corresponds to a hidden kovoid of Hashem, the keser. Ze b'chinas nekudu hel yoino. That corresponds to the top part of the aleph. B'chinas keser, shehu b'chinas moshe, b'chinas segol. all of these things that we explained earlier that represent the top, the upper part. V'chovein hadvorim heitev, and understand this very well, ech kol hadvorim hanemorim shom b'toyra hanal, nikshorim v'nechlolim achakach biyachad, b'kesher niflo v'noira. How all the different concepts that were discussed throughout this whole chapter from the beginning, they're all tied together very, very well. V'hamaskilim yovinu k'tzas. And people that are very deep, that are very knowledgeable, they'll understand this a little bit. Implying that obviously this isn't baby stuff. This is difficult. If you go back to the beginning of the Torah from when we first started learning it, you see that it's not so easy to understand each piece of this and to tie it all together. But if you work at it, you will be able to see very clearly how it does all tie together and flow beautifully.
Does this imply that if a person is not in an aliyah, is not in your read, is kind of like rolling along, that's a problem?
It implies that there doesn't exist such an item, that there's either aliyah or yirida. Rav Nosson Zal says that in Likutei Halachos a lot of times. There's no such thing as in one place. It's either you're advancing, or if you're not advancing. If I'm in the same place today as I was yesterday, then I killed today, chas v'shalom. Then today didn't exist for me. That's an example of yirida, chas v'shalom. Yes, that sleep is a yirida, 100%. Mi ike denayim ayin shnin, a person sleeping, falling asleep for 70 years, means falling away from all ayin ponim shel Torah. That's how Rabbeinu Zal explains it. Sleep is death. It's 1/60th of death. Is death a yirida? You better believe it. Sheikh Neofer, a person's going down into the ground, chas v'shalom. So this concept of sleep is definitely a form of a yirida. Why does a person go to sleep at night? Because that's the yirida from which he bounces up. The chadoshim labkorim, rabba munasecha, the ischachus and emuna is brought about through the sleep at night. Mitzvashem will talk a lot more about this. Mitzvashem, the next shir will summarize everything. But there's a lot. Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos has maybe 15, 20 chapters explaining this Torah. In other words, showing how it ties into hundreds of concepts that are mentioned throughout the Torah. Baruch Hashem.